hope you were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on. Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul.
Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Remain standing, Very quickly, we want to call your attention to the book of Psalm, the 107th number, and just one verse, amen. While you're finding it, I want to thank you, choir, thank you, Sister Wilson, thank you for the cut right, amen, for making sure y'all hold on to those songs that you learned, and that was beautiful. And it's like a good gumbo. The more you do it, the better it gets. Amen. So y'all keep it up, keep it up. Thank you so much for your diligence. The 107th number, Book of Psalms. Y'all got it? I don't. All right. The first verse. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a few moments this morning, I want to speak to you from the subject, so much to be thankful for. I think that was the subject we gave you last Sunday. Amen. And that's the subject for this Sunday as well. So much to be thankful for as we enter into the Thanksgiving season. I believe that you will all agree with me that it is an appropriate statement. It is a statement that should be made by each of us sitting on every pew and in every seat in the sanctuary. We all should have the same report. We all should have the same testimony, and that is that we have so much to thank God for. Do I have a witness today? In spite of our situations, whatever they may be, in spite of how difficult our year has been, all of us still have so much to thank God for. There are so many things that we can thank God for. We can thank him for sending his son to die on the cross for us. We can thank Jesus for his shed blood that remits us of our sin. We can thank God for the cross that represents the place for which our salvation was secured. We can thank God for an empty tomb. Amen. That's still empty today. We have so much to thank God for. We can thank God for our fellow saints, persons with whom we worship, persons with whom we fellowship, that we ought to be thankful for. We ought to be thankful for the people sitting on our pew right now. Amen. We ought to be thankful for the person seated across the room from us, whether we know them or not. We are all fellow saints, and we ought to be thankful for one another. We can thank God for salvation through faith. Every one of us in here who has experienced the salvific grace of God, we should be thankful that the Lord Jesus decided to die to save us. And every morning that we wake up, we ought to thank the Lord for salvation. We're my saved people. And you Bible readers will be able to identify with this. You discover that it is a general theme in Hebrew scripture. That is, in the Old Testament, it is a general theme that whenever you consider the works of God, whenever you consider the power of God, whenever you consider the might of God, our first response ought to be thank you. That is a recurring refrain throughout the Old Testament. Even in the New Testament, Paul consistently tells the people of God that they should be thankful for what the Lord has done. I think that we will all agree that we have so much to thank God for. Y'all, I love football as much as the next person, but I would never forsake worshiping God to watch a football game on the television. Because if the truth would be told, God has been my offense and my defense. Do I have any witnesses today? Is there anybody here that can say like me that he has done more for me than I could ever have done for myself? When I needed a shield to protect me, he was my defense. When I needed somebody to handle my enemies, he was my offense. As a matter of fact, every time I looked around, God was right there to do for me what no one else would do. And so I have a reason, I have a right, I have a responsibility to tell God, thank you. Is there anyone here who can testify that God has blocked some things from you? Is there anybody here willing to admit that God stood in front of you before some of your enemies who tried to come against you? He has been a shield and a buckler, and we have a reason to tell him thank you. Some of y'all are waiting for Thanksgiving Day, but there are one or two of us in here who understand that I didn't make it this far because of my good looks. I didn't make it this far because I've been doing everything right and crossing every T and dotting every I. And so I've got a reason today to tell God thank you. The psalmist is very clear that he has so much to thank God for. He is very clear that he's not trying to be covert as it relates to his gratitude to God. He's not trying to conceal how good God has been to him. He's not trying to be undercover about what the Lord has done for him. He's very straightforward. He's very upfront. He's very clear, concise, and convincing that he has a reason to give God thanks. And so he says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. And is there anybody in this place who is in your right mind who can get your praise on with this psalmist? Because like him, you have a lot to thank God for. As a matter of fact, you don't need to be pumped up. You don't need to be prodded, because you realize you've got so much to thank God for. And you've come to Pleasant Hill today not as a spectator, not as a bystander, but as an active living witness of the fact that God is good, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that his mercy endures forever. You have the same testimony as the brother in this Psalms. I give him thanks because he is good and his mercy endures forever. So we find, y'all, a revelation in this psalm. It's what is called in theological circles the salvation history of the people of God. That over and over and over again, God saves his people. God redeems his people. He sets his people free. Over and over again, the Lord makes ways for them that they were unable to make for themselves. Over and over again, the Lord opens doors for them that they were unable to open for themselves. And in light of all of that, God has done, and all that God has done for them, the psalmist says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Y'all, you need to read this whole 107th number of Psalm. You need to read it all because it ought to remind you that not just one time, not just two times, but over and over again, the Lord has been there to pick you up, to turn you around, to place your feet on solid ground over and over again. And do y'all know what? Sometimes it was in spite of our sinful ways. Come on, don't get super holy on me now. Sometimes it's been in spite of our sinfulness, amen, that the Lord has been there to rescue us when we couldn't rescue ourselves. Over and over again, the Lord has been there to defend you from evil enemies. And so as we approach Thanksgiving each Sunday this month, I'm trying to encourage us to take an inventory of what the Lord has done. I've been dealing with this all month. I couldn't wait to the Sunday before Thanksgiving to start thanking God for all that he's done for me, because y'all, he's been so good to me that 30 or 31 days in this month ain't enough time for me to tell you how many times the Lord has made ways for me, how many times he's healed my body, how many times he's kept me from harming myself. Is there anybody in here that can say, if I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't tell it all? If I had 1,000 hands, I couldn't praise him enough for all that he's done? God has been so good. I said he's been so good. As a matter of fact, y'all, every time I turn around, he keeps on doing great things for me. Am I by myself? The psalmist says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Then there are three things that he gives us, and I'll be out of your way. Three things that I want to share with you real quick. First of all, he gives us a repetitive refrain. He gives us a repetitive refrain. That refrain simply says this: oh, give thanks unto the Lord. It is an urging. It is an invitation. It is a calling. For he is saying, I declare unto every one of you that you ought to give God thanks. As a matter of fact, you English folk, well, English teachers and what have you will appreciate this. The subject of the sentence is not even revealed in the sentence. He does not say, brother so-and-so, give thanks. He doesn't say, sister so-and-so, give thanks. Because, you see, there is an unspecified but not an unqualified subject in the sentence. He says, oh, give thanks, which is what we call in the English language an understood you. That is, when the subject is not given in the sentence, but you know that the sentence is talking about you. So that means that nobody who reads this psalm, no one who hears this psalm is exempt or excluded from the subject of the psalm. Which simply means that there is no one who doesn't have a right, a reason, or responsibility to tell God thank you. So when you read the text, he's literally saying, oh, you should give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let me try it this way for somebody who ain't been feeling me. You haven't said thank you. You haven't said amen. You haven't said praise the Lord. You ain't said hallelujah. As a matter of fact, you've been sitting there looking like you've been sucking on a sour lemon. But maybe if I say it this way, God in heaven can get a response out of you. The psalmist is talking to you on this Sunday morning. You ought to give God thanks.
You ought to thank him because he's good. You ought to thank him because he's been merciful. You ought to thank him because he woke you up this morning. You ought to thank him because he put food on your table, clothes on your back. You ought to thank him, because if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you wouldn't be here today. You ought to thank. You ought to thank. You ought to thank him. You ought to thank him for looking beyond your faults and seeing your needs. You ought to thank him for life, health, and strength. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto God, for he is good. And y'all, we can rest assured that the psalmist is not playing church, because you Bible readers will note that this is not the first time nor the only time that he encourages the people of God to give him thanks. Amen. In Psalm 105 and verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. In Psalm 107 and 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. In Psalm 118 and 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. If you haven't figured it out by now, he has done so much for you that you don't have a right to remain silent. I say you ain't got a right. You know, we're living in a time where everybody's hollering about their rights and, amen, my civil rights and all of that. But I've come by to burst your bubble today to tell you that if you're sitting up in this place, if you're breathing, if your heart is beating, if you've got life in your body, you don't have a right to sit on God. You don't have a right to be silent. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Where are my redeemed folk? Where are my folk who know that if God hadn't saved you, if he hadn't died for you, you would be on your way to a devil's hell? I want to be a part of the noisy crew. You know, I know some folks say, don't take all of that. Don't take all of that. Amen, amen. But if God has been as good to you as he's been to me, in spite of me, I can't hold my peace. One songwriter said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Can I tell you, there's something dangerous for real church folk. Can I tell you what the danger is? The danger is to start thinking about the goodness of Jesus. Because somebody said, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, y'all, church will break out. Where my breakout folk? And you don't care who's looking. You don't care how they talk about you. You don't care, amen, what they say about you. When I think about the goodness of Jesus, I gotta tell him thank you. I got to tell him thank you. Come on and tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. And so over and over again, he keeps drawing us to the same thing. But not only does he give us a repetitive refrain, he also gives us a recurring reminder. He gives us a recurring reminder. Y'all see the reminder? The reminder is simply this. For he is good. Over and over again, he tries to get the people of God who are listening to him and those of us who are reading this psalm, he's trying to get us to understand that God is good. Now, y'all, the word good here, it's translated from the Hebrew word tov, T-O-V-E, which literally means God is excellent, God is beautiful, God is perfect, God is altogether lovely. God is delightful. There is no error in him. There is no evil in him. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is antithetical to the goodness about which the psalmist speaks. God is good every day and in every way. I'm going to have to pause here parenthetically and school somebody, because, amen, somebody's sitting there thinking that just because you got a problem on your job, God ain't good. But can I school you for a minute? Amen. When the writer says God is good every day and in every way, at all times and in all seasons and all circumstances, he's telling us that God is good. Now, that means that we cannot ascribe bad circumstances to the nature of God. We have to be very, very careful that we never equate our condition to God's character. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that just because you had a bad week this week doesn't change the fact that God is good. Amen. Bad stuff happens because sin is in the world. So no matter how difficult your condition is, God's character, tell that neighbor, God's character remains the same. So that's why I can say every day, he's good. Every hour of every day, he's good. Every minute of every hour of every day, he's good. Every second of every minute of every hour of every day, he's good. Every millisecond of every second of every minute of every hour of every day, he is good. Is there anybody in this room who can bear witness with me that God is good all the time? Y'all, that's why it's such a natural thing when somebody gets up and says, God is good, and all the time, he is good, because we got enough sense. I said we got enough sense to realize that I'm making it not because I'm good, but I'm making it, I'm surviving, I'm living, I'm prospering because God is good. And if you know you serve a good God, why don't you get on your feet right about here? Put your hands together and give him a crazy praise. Give him a crazy praise, because it's crazy how he keeps on keeping me. It's crazy when I think about it, how he makes a way for me. Give him praise in this place. So somebody needs to be reminded that even though some stuff you're going through ain't good, baby, God is still good. Y'all, I know trouble comes. I know challenges come. I know that every situation is not good, but in every situation and in everything, God is good. As a matter of fact, that's what Paul was talking about when Paul said all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. That means God can take a bad situation. I'm talking about the kind of situation where your haters and your enemies are sitting back smiling, gloating because they thinking, amen, oh, we got her now. Oh, we got him now. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They've been thinking they all had in a bag of chips, but amen, they ain't going to make it through this. But God can take that same bad situation, work it out where you come out on top of the situation. Is there anybody here who knows that he's able to make your enemies a footstool? The same folk that are trying to trip you up, the same folk that are trying to tear you down, God will allow them to get so low down that you can climb up on top of them and say, won't God exalt you? Won't he lift you up? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he open doors that you didn't even see? Give him praise in this place. Last point, and I'm finished. Not only is there a repetitive refrain, not only is there a recurring reminder that God is good, but then finally he gets to the last phrase. He says, how do you know that God is good? He says, because his mercy, hallelujah, because his mercy endures forever. How do you know he's good, Pastor Garner? Because his mercy endures forever. Here in the text, there's revealed to us not only, amen, this refrain, not only this reminder, but there is also this refreshing reality that his mercy endures forever. a refreshing reality that God don't change. Ooh, if y'all dealt with some of the folk I have to deal with on a daily basis, amen. Some of them, you don't know, amen, how they coming at you. You know, they come at you one way one day, and then the next day they come at you a whole different way. Come on, how many of you have had to deal with people that change up on you? But is there anybody here? Is there anybody here who's glad to know this refreshing reality that we serve a God? I said we serve a God who is immutable. He does not change. I'm so glad that God does not change, because family members get fickle. I said I'm so glad to know that God does not change, because your job ended. I'm so glad to know that God does not change. And I'm glad to know that his mercy endures forever. Y'all do know what mercy is, don't you? Mercy is when God withholds from us what we rightly deserve. Can I tell you what I rightly deserve? Because of all of my sins, because of all of my shortcomings, because of all of my iniquity, I deserve a place in a devil's hell. But I can stand here this morning and preach to the people of God, because the Lord made a way for me that I could not make for myself. And I know that somebody's looking at me and you're wondering how I can have joy in spite of all that I've been through. But I believe I got some witnesses here today. I can have joy right now because I have this refreshing reality that his mercy endures forever. I was talking to our ministers, amen, this morning about the word purity. Paul tells Timothy to be an example of the believer in purity. And I told the ministers, I said, that's a tricky word. Because when you start talking about purity, you see, you can't take something that has been spoiled and make it pure. If you ever had milk in your refrigerator and you know it curdled up and it's spoiled, there ain't no way to take spoiled milk and make it pure again. And you see, some of us have to testify that we're preaching in the pulpit, but we ain't always been in the pulpit. There's some folk in the choir who will have to testify that they're singing in the choir, but they haven't always been in the choir. But God, Paul tells Timothy to be an example of the believer in purity. And I have this refreshing reality that the only way I'm pure right now is because of the blood of Jesus. And is there anybody here today, if you're not too mean and if you're not too proud, you will let somebody know that you didn't start out, amen, with a halo on your head. You made some mistakes. You fell down along the way. But won't God pick you up? Won't he turn you around? Won't he place your feet on solid ground? You ought to give him praise. You ought to tell him thank you. You ought to worship him. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? I know he is. I know he is. Come on, come on, come on. Just for one little minute. Stand on your feet if you can. Thank God. Thank God for his goodness and for his mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Y'all, I praise God. I said, I praise him and I thank him.